It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here and good to see my friend and co-host, Mike Ward.
Good to see you, Sean.
And it's the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo in the rear view now, which means all fishing stops. It's over.
Just about.
No, when I talked to Bobby on Thursday, I was like, well, that's over. He said, yeah, that's over. We're folding up the shop. We're not guiding anymore. There's a whole bunch of fishing to come. But it is a funny place in the summertime that, you know, just that kind of grow up here. You're like, okay, it's not an immediate transition, but it starts a transition for some people to think about the woods. But there's a whole bunch of good fishing straight ahead.
It is, but you are right. Once the rodeo is over with, I would say probably at least 30% of the people, they probably won't go back.
Good. Well, get them out of my way. Get them out of my way because they were in my way during the rodeo.
You know, maybe I'm going to say 30%. You know, take myself. I'm not going this coming up weekend. I bet you a majority of the people at Fishing and Guff, regular guys, probably not going this weekend.
Because you're licking your wounds.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out, how much did I spend in gas?
Yes, a lot.
So, and so Mike and I have talked a little bit, but of course, as I said last week, he was on assignment, means he was fishing. He was, out there, and I was here, so it's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Mike is back, and he can give us his story from being offshore, what happened there. I know that weather-wise, big story going into rodeo, and it started.
Oh, yeah. It started
Monday, Tuesday.
A week and a half before the rodeo.
Yes. And
week and a half. People's telling me, boy, there's a depression coming in the Gulf. It may turn into a hurricane.
The stuff gets hyped up. And I told folks to listen to Dr. Bill. And Dr. Bill said, hey, this could be something. Might not, but it could be something. But it was interesting that all through the week on the midday show, people were texting in and saying, because we know the JCs, we know the rodeo. They said, are they canceling it? And I said, I hadn't talked to them yet, but I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to cancel a rodeo. And some people are like, okay, cool. And other people are like, well, they should cancel it. I'm like, they're probably not going to cancel it. I mean, it's a very rare event.
Unless it's a severe,
like if we had a hurricane coming,
warnings and, all
and
that.
Sometimes we've had weather, the first day of the rodeo, and this year the rodeo first day was nasty, and then it got better and better. There's been some years first day scorch, and then we've had some serious weather events at the rodeo on weekends that were supposed to be perfect.
That's right.
Lines of storms come from the north going south. We remember that was 10 years ago.
Several of them, yes.
Remember that we had a bad one 10 years ago?
Sunk several boats,
So, and that was, better. So what I'm getting at is that, they kind of stuck with it, and it was, to be honest with you, I was not offshore Friday, so I didn't, and Mike will give us that, but I actually enjoyed the cloud cover because we were trout fishing and then Saturday and Sunday were fine.
Yeah.
Weather-wise was...
Well, listen, Friday really wasn't that bad. Now, it was...
Offshore?
Going out Friday morning, it was. It was a little bad. It was some 4 or 5, maybe even some 6-footers out there. Swales, and it was white capping on top of
that's no fun. I don't want any part of that.
On Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Now, that's at daylight going out. We was trying to catch bait, which was terrible. I won't tell you what, trying to catch bait out of Dolphin Island is horrific.
We're going
to
get,
I'm telling you, it's bad.
I want to get back to that, too.
But anyway, probably about, I'm going to say 10 o'clock in the morning, it started laying down a little bit.
It's only fours?
Well, the wind stopped blowing very, very hard. And probably by 12, 1 o'clock or so, it really got nice. The only thing is, if you try to run dead into them, your boat would pop off off away because they were, 4 or 5
pretty steep
swales.
Waves,
pretty good swales. But later on that afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock, I could run 40 miles an hour in it, quartering it, going with it. I mean, it was fine. It turned out Friday afternoon was a nice fishing day.
I did say a prayer for y'all on Friday morning. So
yeah.
Giveaway completely. We're fishing, but we're fishing somewhere for trout that was protected from a south wind.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Somewhere that we could hear waves crashing into the beach to our south.
Yeah.
And so I might have been wade fishing and been where I was probably 80 yards plus off the beach.
Yeah.
And I could hear the waves crashing to my south on the south side. And I said, man, that's a little, that was a little bumpy. And yeah. I saw some, saw some people put some videos up. It did look rough that morning, but.
And it was rough that morning. There's no question about it. It was rough that
morning. But what I guess I'm getting to is.
It continually got better and better. And then Saturday came. It was slick calm most of the day. Saturday, just swells. And even Sunday, it's slick calm. Just swells, and even Sunday morning running into the waves, I was running probably 35, 38 miles an hour, but you'd pop off of those, those swells, you know, and running into them.
If you do it, do that, if the swell's big enough, your boat dries before it hits again.
Yeah.
Swell's high enough, the whole dries off.
So really, overall, the weather turned out to be okay for the rodeo. It really did. Because I was one of the ones thinking, man, I hope they cancel this thing.
You and I were talking at Liars Contest. You and I were sitting down like, y'all going to go?
Yeah.
You know? Not that I didn't think y'all would go over the days of the rodeo. I didn't know if you're going to hold it back for the morning, but then I realized it's Mike Ward and what I think. Of course you're going to go.
Well, if they're going to have rodeo, might as well go.
That's right. But all I'm getting to is that day was rough, but there have been rodeos that start the Fridays like a mill pond.
Beautiful, yeah.
And then you get a real rough Saturday or Sunday. So, it's all part of it. It's funny, Mayor Collier was on.
We call it Rodeo Weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mayor Collier was on with me on Friday from the rodeo site, Mayor of Dauphin Island, and said, well, Sean, I kind of think that's part of it. It's proven you can go catch fish when the weather isn't perfect.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
And a lot of times, for what fishing I was is doing, better when it's
100%. You know, so I was so, and we were shopping. Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Like Mike's, we'll have a report from over this because Mike was fishing offshore, way offshore. I was fishing inshore, and that weather on Friday for me for inshore was great.
It was
because I'm fishing shallow
water.
The
wind right.
I had the wind right. Oh yeah. I mean, I could cast. I mean, that croaker would hit in a different area code than I threw it from. You can cast away out there, but also that cloud cover keeps those fish shallow longer.
That's right.
I mean, looked up, it was like 9 o'clock. I said, it's as dim as it would be 30 minutes after daylight.
Yeah.
And some storms came through. We dodged them and all that and did that. So it was good there. Now,
I never got wet the whole weekend.
We didn't get rained out either. I tell you when it rained. So we went in Friday morning to weigh fish. Because we saw it, I had to put some of these pictures up on social media. It's funny, after a big weekend, put stuff on my Instagram or whatever, but I have so many pictures, I'm like, I don't have time to sit down and just post all my pictures. But I've got some really cool, a water spout blew up and thunderstorm down to our west, and but we were already leaving. The rain hit when we got to the rodeo site Friday morning to weigh fish, but we were already underneath the roof of the rodeo site. And the way, that did get a little crowded at the weigh station because none of people were coming in to weigh fish and nobody wanted to leave the other side.
Right.
Afterwards, we were all kind of bunched up there until the rain stopped and then we were good to go. All right, so I want to kind of break things down for the rodeo. Number one, you said, and you've talked about this before, and I've been with you before when it's just been easy like the old days for catching bait, and I've been with you when it's not, and you said this is when it's not weekend. You said it was tough to find bait.
It was really bad.
So people understand this too, because Mike catches big fish, but Mike is very serious when you fish with him about getting the right bait.
Right.
I mean, and you'll be like, all right, can't we just go fishing? No, we're going to get the right bait. How long did it take you on Friday?
Half a day
you were catching bait.
And I only probably had about 25 baits. Normally, I'm going to have 75 to 100 hardtails.
And usually we do that in one or two stops with you.
Yes. Normally, we'll catch that many in, let's just say,
we'll hit the
30,
ships and
30
catch
45
some and we'll
minutes
hit a
or an hour.
Yeah.
You know? You'll catch that many normally.
Half a day,
and only had maybe 25 baits. It was really tough. And then, Saturday, I mean, it was bad, too. Sunday going out, bad, too. I mean, Sunday going out, I only had about 6 baits.
And you're catching them all, because I was telling you that I wasn't throwing for them because we're fishing croakers and all that, but I did see, and not like I've been at the island a bunch this year. I have not, and not as much as usual. I did see a good number of pogies.
Yeah.
Around inshore.
Right.
So they were there. But you're catching, hardtails. It used to be, if there was a solid structure, you'd catch hardtails off of it.
Yeah, wasn't any problem. And it's been really strange this year.
They're just not there? Are you marking them? You see them? What?
Listen, when we fished the Florabama tournament, went and caught bait south of the island, same places I went the other day, and just killed them. Every time we set a sabiki down, we'd have 4 or 5 hardtails on at a time. Caught bait in 30 minutes. We had live wells, 2 live wells full of bait. So it was no problem when was that? That was June, whatever, middle of June, whenever Florabama tournament was.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back a few weeks later, couldn't catch them. And went back a week later and caught them. And then go back for the rodeo, can't catch them. So where are they going or what they're doing, I can't tell you. I don't know. Catching bait out of Dolphin Island can be really hard sometimes.
Okay. So bait was a trouble.
For me. Now, well, maybe somebody else found
like, you won't say this because you're, you know, a humble guy. But honest to God, if you go out there and say, I can't catch any bait, I'm sure as heck not going to follow you and say, oh, yeah, I can do it. Because, I mean, you're real good at it.
Well,
you got
yeah,
the equipment
but,
and you know where
I'm
to go.
But I'm just saying somebody probably found them somewhere. I didn't fish
but
every
used to
rig.
Be, you didn't
every...
have, but you used to not have to go to some – there were some rigs or pipes better for hardtails in the past. But there were – even the one that was bad, you'd catch you some hardtails.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, we went to – I'm telling you, we went to just about all of them south of Dolphin Island. We couldn't find anything. And normally you can catch herring or cigar minnows, you know, mm-hmm. using small sabikis. And we did that too. And we did catch a few, but we didn't catch many. You know, so it's been extremely hard. Fished all the ships. Normally fishing in ships, you can catch some hardtails.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Cigar minnows.
Cigar minnows off
now,
the ships.
Plenty of Spanish around the ships. We caught lots of Spanish, you know. But you can't keep them alive. If they would stay alive, they'd be great baits for King.
Yeah. If we come back, I want to talk a little bit more, too, on the bait side, because you and I had talked about it. Maybe we're talking about it with Sean Powers or Scott Bannon about some of those reefs that are the close ones that are, like, not far off the beach.
Right. Loaded with bait.
That are
some
loaded. Of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Come back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors post-rodeo special. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you all along on this rodeo recap. And we're still going to talk fishing going forward. We're not going to roll the carpet up and say fishing's over.
No, because there's still plenty of really good fishing to come.
Absolutely.
Really good fishing, especially if you fish into the pond.
Yes. And we will keep talking about that, even though, you know, we start getting into August and stuff. Some hunting in the mix. But we'll hold off now and talk fishing. Just interesting. So, I mean, there's two things that used to be, I think, easy. And I didn't fish it as much as you, but growing up, I tried to fish like you. Catching hardtails wasn't hard, and catching kings wasn't hard. But I was
right.
Young.
Neither one of those was hard. You go anywhere. You go to Farewell Buoy, the ships, Southeast Banks. It didn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Go anywhere, and you're probably going to catch a king mackerel.
Correct.
Years ago.
Yes.
It's not like
bait,
that
and bait wasn't hard to get.
Bait was easy. Well, the other thing, too.
Hardtails were easy to get.
The other thing, too, Sean, is we used to have a lot more rigs just south of Dolphin Island.
Sure.
In 80-foot of water, 90-foot, 100-foot of water, you know, and all of that held hardtails,
mm-hmm.
too. So if you didn't catch your hardtails right in close to shore, then you could run out to the next rigs and, you know,
but we used
probably
to hit those
be
pipes
there or
that
go
were...
that to the next ones or whatever.
And there was capped off. Their pipes are like three of them in a row there back in the day, or two
right.
of the we used to go. That's where,
yeah,
you go there. I mean, wasn't even sabiki rigs back then, it was spec rigs. We caught them on spec rigs.
That's right.
But you know, something that you talked about before that these close in, and you look, if y'all go Outdoor Alabama or open your marine calendar, you'll see, you know, all the regular snapper numbers and the stuff we fish, but there's this stuff in close. And
some of the pyramids in close.
And, you know,
and
I've run past them every time, never stopped. But, and I, you know, this is maybe shooting myself in the foot, but I don't come on here to keep secrets unless it's about ducks or turkeys. Those are holding bait.
Some
I've heard it from
them.
You and others.
Not all of them, but some of them.
And right there, you're just going to pull up, get on the number, drop the sabikis down. And
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's another place to get. So,
but even that this weekend, I tried,
you tried
some
those?
Of that. Yeah, and I'm telling you, bait was just hard for me.
Y'all
to
let us know. This is interesting. I mean, we've, you know, decades of doing this show, and we have a separate Facebook page for this. If you go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, we've got the big FM Talk page where people are arguing about whatever right now.
Yeah.
But just come to the Outdoors page. Have y'all, because I'd love to take our very unscientific survey here. Are y'all having trouble finding bait?
Yeah.
Offshore fishermen, are you having trouble finding bait? All right. Second thing that was troublesome is king mackerel.
King mackerel.
And you've been talking about this a couple of years now. The Kings are not where they usually are at that time of year.
Yeah, they're just not where we used to catch them. Now, I think it seems like further east you go, the king mackerel get better.
Isn't that weird?
And even inshore. See, we normally, this time of year, you catch them offshore in 130, 40, 50, 60 foot of water, 80 foot of water. But seems like they're in close now in 60, 80, 100 foot of water. You know, they're just not out, seem like, where we normally would catch them. Now, where I went, where I fished majority of the weekend, there was a few kings caught out there. I saw a couple of kings caught, and I know one of the boys that caught, I think, fifth place king mackerel, 42 pounds or something like that, was right out there by me. So there was a
few. But how many kings would you have expected? I mean, where, like, we're talking about.
Well, it used to be, I mean, of course.
Right, you're talking about catching a few.
You'd just be wearing them
and
out.
And by the way, congratulations, Jeffrey Gates, 55.60, one king mackerel.
That was on the boat Get Laid. That's Fred Watkins, and he's fished a lot of king mackerel tournaments. He's a really good king mackerel fisherman. He really is.
And what did you think? What would you have thought would be the size to win it?
Well, I mean, typically, you know, you're going to be in the 50s normally.
Although I remember back in the day, there'd be those 60s come in. And
oh, there was one year that a friend of mine caught a 63-pound king, and he didn't even place.
I remember the I remember
that one year. That was the year Bill Nunnery had a 68 or 69.
I don't know if it's the same year. We came in one year. We had a 57.50.
Yeah.
You couldn't have told us nothing on our way back in. We were so fired up.
Yeah.
We got third place.
Which is good. Let me tell you, you win any place in the rodeo. And I tell people this all the time.
But that's been 25 years since I've
won. I'm telling you, first, second, or third place, anything in a rodeo, you've done really good. Mm-hmm. You're competing against 4,000-something people.
And about 1,000 of them are deadly, deadly fishermen.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got these big boats now, all the best electronics and all the best maps and, you know, everything that you could possibly have, and they're hardcore fishermen. They'll go out and stay out the whole time fishing night and day. I mean, it's great fishermen. So if you win anything, I'm telling you, in the rodeo, I don't care if it's white trout or or gaff top sail or cavalier, it don't make any difference. If you place in the rodeo, you've done good, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on that big king that Fred Watkins' boat caught, supposedly, I haven't talked to Fred, but supposedly from what he told another friend of mine, that he was just riding and saw a whole bunch of big schools of hardtails.
you find the bait, you find the fish.
Of hardtails in about 100 foot of water. And he decides to stop and start fishing the hardtails. And he caught a 55-pounder, and he caught about 20-something other kings.
So that's where they all were.
That's where they were, I guess. Isn't that's amazing. Now, Sunday, coming in from offshore, in about 100 foot of water, I saw school after school after school of big schools of hardtails. You know?
They just weren't where they needed to be.
They weren't where I was fishing for them.
So, and talk about this too, as I look through, and we'll talk about some of these numbers. I do want to get, well, we'll do these together. First of all, snapper. You and I had talked about this going into it, the size of some of the snapper. I mean, was it the Floribama tournament that top three places were 30-pound fish?
Oh, yeah, 31, 30 or something like that. Three of them over 30.
I mean, that's a really big snapper to catch three of them. And this year, 32 pounds. So Krueger Hines, 32-pound, 2.8 for number one snapper. Randall Alvarez, 29.67. And Brian Reeves, 28.62. So that was still impressive.
Very impressive. That's monster snapper. I'm trying to get to the snapper jackpot.
While you're saying that, too, I would have. This came to me. Now, I wasn't offshore fishing, but somebody told me this, and I looked it up. And listen, there's so many categories in the rodeo. You know, we should all sit down and read the rules or go to the meetings and look at all that stuff. I don't know. Still no. Don't think I'd have fished offshore. But that return them right.
Yes.
Which is a thing I have that I got when those people came on the show with us years ago. It's a descender device.
Right.
Right. So instead of venting with a vent tool and putting your snapper back in, venting the air bladder, which make sure you're doing it correctly.
Yeah.
The return right, you hook this thing up, it drops fish back down to depth, and you pop it loose, and it returns. It releases the fish at depth. They had it, and I don't. They had a return 'em right reef fish competition. Our buddy Mike Eubanks was in that as well, and it was the count of live released reef fish. And there were some rules to it, but the payout I heard was big. I forget what it was. Well,
I talked to Mike yesterday.
Yeah,
he won two. I guess him and another boy on his boat. They won two Tenacon electric reel and rods, $1,200 a piece.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I know. I got two of them. Yeah.
I mean, that's wonderful price.
For releasing fish.
For just taking pictures of you releasing.
So that's like some of these little side deals in the rodeo
that you don't pay attention to.
You don't pay attention to them. The people that do, they benefit from them. So,
absolutely.
So I thought that was worth talking about when we were talking about Snapper.
Okay, now, well, I'm looking at Snapper. I'm looking at the results here. There was, let's see... 28 fish that was in the $100 cash awards, 28 fish that was over 20 pounds.
That's saying something.
It is. There was.
I know most people, and I have this running joke with our buddy Jim Cox, too. He sent me a picture, something he got on Facebook. A real 20-pound snapper, y'all, on the scale
is
a big snapper. I know people go, man, we caught a box full of 20-pounders.
Like, yeah, I hear that all the time.
They're 14, and they're great. A 14-pound snapper is great, but it ain't 20.
No. And most people would call a 14 to 16 pound snapper 20. Or 20 pound. That's right. Just like a speckled trout,
yes.
A 3 all pound.
The, all
a 3
the 5 pounders
speckled trout
out
is
to 5 be,
pounds.
Yes, yes.
Yes. But there was 14 over 25 pounds.
That's
now,
unreal.
Think about that. And there was, let's see, 3 over 28 pounds.
That's a testament.
Yeah, I mean,
because the two things are going on now, like Dr. Powers just talked about it, and the way we're managing the resource, to have more days, you end up having smaller fish, generally.
Yeah. Right.
And, I mean, I lamented it last year. You know, I mean, I'm just in the world of catching a keeper fish. You know, that's, I mean, pretty much offshore, you know, that fish is better than 16, 18, 19 inches. They go in the box.
Me too. I don't go.
I'm not gonna high grade all day.
I'm not either anymore. All I do is if he's legal, I put him in the box.
But now to look at, there's still some giants out there, and
absolutely.
That's and I knew. I mean, it's not like I don't know, but for that many to be caught, tells me how many still big ones, which are great because those are ones that make the most babies.
Right.
You know. So,
and people that dive, I got several friends of mine that dive, and they tell me that, you know, most all these spots, even public spots, have a big snapper or 200 or even more than that, have several big ones. It's just you got to catch them biting, and you got to get the bait in front of them. You got to get it, they got to get to the bait before a smaller one gets to it, you know?
And even the live baits don't protect that anymore. It used to be like, because, you know, we'll try to catch a bigger snapper, we're running live baits to do that. And you're like, watch that rod go down, like, all right, that was on that big croaker, or that was on that big white trout, 17 inches.
Yep.
But they're like a bass. I mean, how many bass have you caught? The dang, you know, topwater lures about as big as the bass. I think
they're just aggressive fish.
Yeah, they're going to eat them. So, but yeah, that was impressive. Those numbers coming in on that. Also, I saw, you know, some numbers here on scamp. You know, I'm obsessed with scamp because I can't catch them. Neil Foster, 25.46 pounds scamp.
That was a monster.
I don't even know what that looks like in that size. Speaking of some big fish, too, we'll talk about this more when we get back, and there's one that Mike knows I'm obsessed with. The top three places for this fish, there's giants.
Yeah.
Giants. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Yeah, once again, if y'all, it'd be interesting to take a little live bait survey. You can, offshore fishermen, is it harder than normal this year, easier than normal? And you get hardtails, it could be, you know, it could be cigar minnows, whatever you choose to go, you know, sabiki up for live bait. Is it harder this year than before? Or, you know, kind of do a little survey.
And I think that's week to week. Like I said earlier, I've had times when I go out there and just load up on them. We killed them earlier this year.
Okay.
You know, so I think it's kind of week to week. And where I was catching a bunch of hardtails, some of these rigs, there'd be Spanish just everywhere around. And then you go back next week, there's no Spanish, there's no hardtails, there's no, except for those hornbellies.
Yeah.
You know what the hornbellies, mm-hmm. I call them hominamas or hornbellies or devilfish or whatever right. you want to call them. They're out there by the gazillion.
Yeah, wait till they stick you.
Yeah. You know why they hornbellies.
And also, we had mentioned that scamp that left me kind of slack-jawed there. That's a hell of a scamp.
That is a big scamp.
So, Neil Foster, 25.46 pounds. Give you comparison, the state record, 29 pounds, 10 ounces.
Yeah.
That's a big scamp.
That's a big scamp. It really is. That's a monster scamp.
And also, everybody's always interested in the sharks. In tiger shark, one of these came in. I think maybe the third place. Did it come in the first day? What, 690.80 pounds. Ray Crumley was number one tiger shark. Colin Shepard, 637.30 pounds. And that second place. And Wes Lawrence in third, 507 and 40 pounds. So that was, let me find bull shark too while we're at it. But I do
want
to.
Was that tiger sharks?
Those are tiger sharks.
Yeah. Okay.
In the bull shark, James Julian, 370 pounds on the nose. First place, Britton Womack in second place, 355, and Dylan Crawford, 349 for bull shark. Because bull shark brings me into the bees, Mike. It brings me into the bees. And this is something, so Mike and I saw each other Sunday when we were kind of, people were leaving the island. And, we're talking about what we caught, didn't catch, all those kind of things, and weights we had seen. And what fish did I pick out to talk to you about?
Black drum.
Black drum. Okay, black drum. So, I looking at a different year, looked at last year, and this conversation I had with Bobby Abercrombie, he said, man, you know, they catch big black drum every year. And true, but this is real big. I looked at last year's, now, year to year, but last year, number one black drum last year was, I had this up at one point, I think it drum was 25, black. Yeah, drum black. Or, no, it says black drum here, 25.66 pounds for 2024 rodeo.
Yeah, first place.
First place. This year, that wouldn't even gotten you. The third biggest black drum, and this is something I've never focused on. I've caught some and catch puppy drum up in the Delta and stuff, yeah. But I caught some bigger black drum, always by mistake, right? I don't know how to target them. Third place, Jonathan Jackson, 45.73 pounds. That's third place.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, last year the winning fish was 25.66. Second place, Charlie Jackson. Sounds like a family affair here. 46.22 pounds. And first place, Jonah Deere, 49.47 pound black drum.
That's monster.
That is
the state record, I think, is what, 60?
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, here. So the state, you give you, this is a good thing to compare this against. So black drum, the record 61 pounds even.
Yeah. And like me and you was talking about before, most people think, well, redfish is bigger than a black drum.
Yeah. In your head, do you think a bull red, the biggest bull red, is bigger than the biggest black drum? Well, our state record for bull red is 45 pounds, 9 ounces. Black drum, 61.0.
Yeah.
Now, and that's, like, I'm trying to think that if I caught what I consider a big one, I probably caught one that's 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine they're not the most dynamic fighters, but good for y'all. Those are some monsters.
But, I mean, it's something good to catch for rodeo.
Absolutely.
You know? And I'm like you. I would have no idea how to go target black drum. No. I've never fished a black drum.
I know some places they do, but I don't know anything about it. Like, yeah. I know kind of just from recon where they go and what they do, but I mean, I don't have any sense of it. Y'all. That's
a great fish.
With
a
whisker, when it's that big, if y'all catch big black drum, are the whiskers like a foot long when they get that big? Like, what do they look like at that size? All right. Let's see. Anything you want to focus on here? By the way, your hardtails, somebody did find some big hardtails, 5.62. That always blows me away. Seeing big hardtails?
Well, they're out there bill fishing.
Yeah.
And they're around the rigs out there trying to catch bonita and everything else for catching tuna and bill fishing. That's where a majority of the big ones come
5. From. 5.62 pounds for Wyatt Barnhill II.
Yeah. So,
although I think some years, am I talking out my ear here that I've seen, have I seen one that's?
State record's like 11 pounds.
Yeah. I think I've seen 8 in the rodeo before. Let's see. What the state record is. So Blue Runner here, of course, Blue Runner. You got the official names for everything. I'll find that at some point and figure out where it is. But yeah, that's there were obviously some out there. You could have gone out there and gotten bait, Mike.
Yeah.
You could have gone 80 miles out and got some bait.
Yeah. But like I said, that's where you catch normally big ones. And I know the boy that's got the state record hardtail beeliner, but I can't think of his name right now, but I know him.
Blue Runner,
yeah.
Speaking of beeliner,
Blue Runner, I'm sorry.
Speaking of that, as the Vermilion snapper, right?
Right.
So those looked through some of those numbers. I want to come back because you're talking about offshore fish. That what I think is inshore fish, people catch big ones offshore. But I want to get to maybe we'll come back to that in a second because I'm trying to find that number here I was looking at. There it is, Vermilion snapper, 4.92 pounds, Nicholas Martin.
Yep.
Almost 5-pound beeliner.
Big one.
It's a big one.
That's a real big one.
That's and then 4.04 for Rocky McKitchen, McMitchin, second place in Andrew Box, third place, 3.58. Now, I was going to say white trout because you talked about the big hardtails offshore. Something that always blew me away in the rodeo, too, is I'd see white trout come in. A lot of times, I thought it was guys mostly out off Venice or out off Louisiana, some of those rigs. You know, I think about white trout. The white trout in my life come from 12 foot of water or less.
Right.
And people over there were catching them in, I don't know how deep, but deep.
Anywhere from 150 to 300 foot of water.
And they catch these white trout, y'all, that were moss. And Brandon Johnson caught one 2.76 pounds for the win in white trout. But I swear I've seen them. They're like 4 pounds or something coming in.
Oh, yeah, way bigger than that. Yeah. Two or three times bigger than that.
But it was usually the people who came in. They weren't inshore. They were offshore fishing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And caught some just. We need some more of those come fall when I'm doing a fish fry. I need them inshore is what I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the record white trout? I got to figure that one out. And also, I would talk about speckled trout a little bit. Yeah, that's what I fished. And the game is it's very reminiscent over the last few years since the new regulations went in with the slot on speckled trout. It is reminiscent of the redfish world.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I fish, it's funny, I never really fished in the rodeo. I fished on the redfish tour for a while, and we had the world of trying to find the fattest fish inside the slot. You know, it was always a game. You know, and I think we talked about this the other day with Sean Powers. It's like how we'd focus, even in Louisiana, you'd go catch a 26-inch fish in one of the duck ponds over there that was feeding on crabs and shrimp. They'd weigh X, whatever. And then you go catch that same fish that was feeding on pogies where bayous came together, and that fish was another pound and a half fatter.
Yeah.
Just of what they ate.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I don't know the formula yet for finding fatty boombalatti speckled trout. I mean, yeah, we had some decent ones, my partner and I fishing. We had some good ones, but we were a pound out of, I was pound, he was closer than that, but the winning trout, now mind you, this is 22 inches. 22-inch, it can't be any longer than 22 inches, right? Speckled trout. Aryan belt, 4.18 pounds.
That's a real good one, isn't it? And he won it last year.
Yeah. So
2 years in a row,
and it's,
he won it.
You know, and there's this old axiom that says for when speckled trout get big, 24-inch fish weighs 4 pounds. This is just general.
Absolutely.
24-inch fish is 4 pounds, 25-inch fish is 5 pounds, 26-inch fish is 6 pounds, you know, in that neighborhood. Yeah. So a freak of nature that 4.18. So, and I guess full of, like a lot of the fish we cleaned, they did have roe in them, I guess heading in this next full moon. You know, speckled trout keep, even though like May and June are the best, they keep doing it throughout
right.
But that's something. So next fish in speckled trout, and mind you, this is with the 22-inch slot. Next one was Kirk Hovind, 3.92 pounds, and Garrett Kirkland in third with 3.86. All fantastic.
Yeah. And what was first place again? 4 pounds? What?
4 pounds, 4.18 pounds.
4.18.
And it's, yeah, and there was a ton at, like, so third place was 3.86, but you start getting 3.7s, there's just tons of them.
Yeah.
There's tons of them. It really, you know, pretty chunky. I mean, my partner had a 3.48. You know, just put him in 27th place.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody I talked to, you included, that speckled trout fish had good trips.
The bite was good. Now
everybody caught lots and lots of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, and we fish them. Yeah, I talk to people who fish them differently. So, I mean, we're fishing croakers on the beach.
Yeah.
Right. And we caught fish. And I talked to people that fish deep. They caught fish, good fish. talked to people that, I mean, the numbers up shallow. Again, the people that are like on schools of fish and picking through them, trying to find bigger fish, they caught fish. So
yeah.
Three different techniques. I'm sure there's plenty more, but those are good fish.
Yeah. My nephew caught a bunch of speckled trout, but he said he didn't have one keeper.
Really?
Yeah. I forget how many he told me he caught. I don't know, 50, 100. I don't even know. A lot. But he said he didn't have one keeper out of it.
So he's fishing
smaller
fish?
I don't know where he's fishing. Yeah, he's fishing probably some of the slicks or something up in shallow water or what, I guess, because he caught a lot of fish. They were schooled up. But he said all of them were short fish.
It was funny, too. We watched that from Friday, and I didn't get to fish Saturday because stuff. So I fished Friday and Sunday, and the size of the fish, and I checked the fish they caught on Saturday. Bigger, more fish that were bigger on Friday, a little bit less Saturday. Same place on Sunday, catching plenty of fish, but instead of them being 21 to 22 inch fish, they were 17 to 18 inch.
Isn't that
fish.
Funny how that works?
Yeah. Same exact spot. So.
Yeah.
All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Borg, glad to have you all with us. Remember, drop us a line to the Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Also, tournaments in the future here, although this one is running right now. We talked about it before, but so the first annual St. Jude Joy Life Saltwater Fishing Tournament going on, and this is, it's like a season-long tournament. And I'll say it benefits Joy Life on the Gulf Coast for St. Jude. I do a lot of work with, I believe in Webb and all those folks there raising money for St. Jude. So this tournament started back at Memorial Day. You can still get in. It is one of these season-long tournaments.
Yeah.
So conceivably, like, if there would have been people that would have had their ticket in this tournament, well, you weigh a fish in at the rodeo, you still get the – like, so if somebody who had, like, a 30-something pounder, if they'd been in that, they'd probably be leading this thing right now. $10,000 first prize.
Man.
For the biggest snapper. And another prize, what I like, is the average weight. So there's a they take all the fish you get weighed in, and then they find the average weight. And then if your fish is closest to the average weight, you win. Like if you take all the snapper weight, you know, it's 500 snapper times these weights, and then do a little math there. And
that's just snapper.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just snapper. And now they have a tournament coming up that's at the end of the season that has other categories in it. But this is that running through the summer. If you go to your Fishing Chaos app and look for Joy Life, you'll see it. Yeah, their tournament's coming up. Let's see. The actual tournament, which is going to be the end, and the people that have been fishing the whole season for snapper, they're going to award it then. I think it's the 18th of August. I think that's what it is. And I'll have, I'm sorry, 16th. 16th of August is when the tournament ends. And that's going to end with, it says, you got a season-long red snapper tournament with various weigh-in locations around the Gulf Coast that ends with a single-day multi-species tournament. So all summer you've been fishing the snapper, hopefully for the biggest one, or what I'm gunning for is one that's
average.
Hey, man, I'll take money for being average.
Yep.
But then it ends with that tournament coming up. So that tournament is the 16th of August. Snapper, beeliner, king mackerel, speckled trout, redfish, and flounder in that tournament. The info, if you go to joylifegulfcoast.org, you get all the information on there as well. But it's the same charity. You know, we do the ball for them,
right?
You know, for the Mardi Gras and the parade, you know, with the kids and the families that have been treated at St. Jude. It's same beneficiary here.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. So, but I thought it was kind of cool. It's one of those tickets that if you didn't, you still should do it this year. But even if you don't for next year, it's like you buy in at the beginning of the season. And it's just it kind of in your pocket. You fish your other tournaments, or you don't have to be fishing a tournament. If you catch your big snapper, fish. You go to a certified scales. You can't just say, my scale said it was. You go to the certified scales. They weigh it, and you're in.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, and so looking at, I don't know that those boats that were rocking those big snapper during the rodeo were in, but they probably should have been.
And what's first place prize?
10,000. Yeah.
Yeah, they should have been.
Yeah. That gets your attention?
I guarantee you it does. Yeah,
that's, I mean, it's cool to win a cooler and a rod and everything, but
$10,000, I'd rather have that in a river rod.
Yeah, cash is good stuff. Also, the, yeah, other tournaments.
Yeah, you got Lane Rowe Memorial Kids Day Out Tournament Rodeo. That's going to be at Dolphin Island. That's at the marina. And that's not this weekend, but next weekend.
Okay.
That's always a big tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Rowe and his brothers, they all put that on, and his sister. And it's a big deal for the kids. So that's going to be not this weekend, but next weekend.
Good. And if y'all, you know, I know there are more coming up. We just don't have a running list of them. You can always send a you send the message into Facebook, or you can just send it directly to my email. And I know we get, like, texts and stuff during the show. Best thing to do, if you have something that you want to work on long-term, send it to my email.
Yeah.
Which is Sean, just my first name, S-E-A-N, Sean, at fmtalk1065.com. And we'd like to, you know, we'll give you some press here for your tournament coming up. You know, so there's more to come. Yeah, but even though, you know, rodeo's over, there's still more fishing to be had, more tournaments to fish. And also, before we wrap up, too, say congratulations to my buddy and Mike's buddy, too, our buddy Hayden Olds. It wouldn't be a rodeo unless Hayden or his accomplices were in the tarpon. So, yeah, third place tarpon. Hayden, good job.
Yeah, and who won first place?
Mark McDonald.
Yeah. So I think he caught, what, five or six?
He had 750 points.
Yeah.
So pretty commanding there. Keaton Day, second place with 500 points, and Hayden Olds, third place with 125 points. So,
yeah.
And we'll have to get Hayden, if you're listening, to get you back in to talk tarpon in the future.
He is one of the best there is.
He and his crew, they're awesome.
Yeah. But also, I heard from people I talked to that were speckled trout fishing on the beach and fishing close to the beach, they said they saw a ton of tarpon.
Don't start with me.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Because I got other stuff I'm supposed to do. Don't tell me.
But there's a lot of tarpon on the beach right now. It's always around the rodeo is when the tarpon seem like they come in pretty strong. And then it seems like from about the 1st of August to September, in that range, that's when, if you're going to go tarpon fishing, that's when you got
to
go.
Well, we'll get Hayden back on to talk like he has. I hope, Hayden, if you'll do it. But like he's taught me over time, kind of like, they start off on the beach fishing. Yes, these fish are migrating up. Although, with some of the technology we've seen, they don't all just hug the Florida coastline coming up here. Some of them just come the heck across the Gulf of Mexico, which is wild if y'all look at that. But they'll be on the beach. And then, this time of year, they're starting to transition into the bay. You go from them fishing them off, you know, off the beach at Gulf Shores to fishing them in the bay off Gilliard Island, you know, that far north. And I don't know when they decide they're going
to
start coming in the bay.
Too.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're inside the, you know, how they decide that they're done out there. But there's still fish out there on the beach when there's fish up in the bay.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yeah, they don't all go up in the bay, but
right.
But a lot of them do.
Yeah, and it seems like they get there later. And this is me, you know, as a guy that's not a tarpon expert. But they seem like they start that, you know, once it gets hotter, they start, I don't know what it is they're following, what bait they're not getting off the beach that they're getting in the bay, but they seem to more come in the bay, Navy Cove and on up.
Yeah.
The bay after that.
And a lot of them were over at around Pettibore and Horn Island. I had several friends fishing over there, and they said they saw lots of tarpon over
there. That's interesting, because possibly here at the conclusion of the show, I may be loading the boy in the boat, and we may be camping over there. So I thought I was going to be trout fishing over there, but I may be putting tarpon baits out while we go swimming.
It don't hurt.
It doesn't hurt at all. All right, Mike, we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good to me.
All right, y'all have a great one.